Wrecking Ball Radio. This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. That was a long song. Enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was good.
Yep. So we're going to get away from Pip's health and go. We're going to keep on talking about
Davin's bank account and Pip's health.
Well, we're going to continue down the trend of talking about people in the road. That's how we left the last portion of the show.
Yes.
So we'll continue with that. So there's a proposed state law in New York that would slap fines on pedestrians who text and email on their phones while crossing the street, and frustrated motorists are already tooting their horns in support. Don't you like the way New York Post writes shit? There will be a green light and people will still be texting in the middle of the street. Cabbie Carlos Rodriguez griped to the Post while waiting near Penn Station. I stop so I don't hit the person. Then I get a $110 ticket for stopping at a green light. I'm sick of it. That's a little much.
Yeah. Really.
The law would impose fines of $25 to $50 on first-time offenders, while death wish texters who stride right back into the crosswalk and repeat the offense within 18 months would be hit with fines as high as $250. The proposal is still in committee in both the State Senate and Assembly. Speak, stupid. But the idea is already on a collision course with pedestrians who seemingly believe texting in traffic is their God-given right as New Yorkers. What a dumb proposal, scoffed Chris Warner, 36, who barely looked up from his phone as he crossed West 32nd.
As a segue,
I don't know, Fox and Friends did a fucking thing on this.
Oh, yeah.
And they sent Steve Doocy out into the street.
Right.
And Steve Doocy is like the pompous, tall, blonde guy whose son got a job because his father's Steve Doocy. So whatever. So they send Steve Doocy out in the street to interview people,
right,
what they think of this. So he's like trying to interview people while they're texting. They can't get away from Steve Doocy quick enough. It's the funniest fucking thing. Like, this is live television, and people, oh, can you talk? And they look at him and go, no. They do not want to talk to Steve.
They run screaming.
And I guess what one of the other shows is, normally what you do is you get a producer to wrangle some people up.
Yes.
Who would talk to, you know, your reporter, in this case, Steve Doocy, so he doesn't look like an asshole. But nope, he's just fucking chasing after people, and people are literally like bursting into traffic to get away from fucking Steve Doocy. Joe's not amused because it's his president's favorite morning show.
And one of the highest rated out of all of them.
Who the hell gives a shit? What does that mean? People go to the circus too. Doesn't mean it's highbrow entertainment. People love professional wrestling. It's not the fucking opera. Who the fuck cares?
I'm just picturing like one of those, like a wild animal that gets its head stuck in a bucket trying to get food out of it. And so people will try to save it. And the wild animal is like, I'm still freaking wild. And it runs away. It's like, we're trying to save you.
Yeah, that is like, no. We'd rather get hit by a fucking Uber or cabbie driver than talk to Steve Doocy on Fox and Friends.
Well, you know, people are on their way to work. They're like, can you talk to us? No.
No, I think anybody in general, I don't think it's just if it was Steve Doocy.
That's like a
New Yorker
thing.
Well, but here's the thing. Most people, as I said, would get a producer.
Yeah, they would have had somebody.
So their on-screen reporter doesn't look like a douche. And you could just see Doocy's getting like frustrated. He's like, you know, everybody's very busy here.
I know.
Nobody wants to talk to you, stupid.
Because your segment is tanking, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And it's like, and the thing about it is,
it's not really his fault.
Yeah,
it's bad
his fault, but you're
production.
Doing a segment, so if your segment is five,
right,
you've got to, and it's not like, you know, it's not like a like you're doing a stand-up set. Well, let's bring your host back up. Thank you. Have a guy. No,
let's go back to Ainsley.
You got to finish that segment. You got to do that five. You know?
I'm stuck.
I mean, it's not his fault. But
I finally wrangled somebody, and now we have to go back to you.
But people are like looking at him like they cannot get away from this tall mongoloid fast enough.
That's hysterical. Hilarious.
It was great TV. I didn't see it live, but I saw, like, of course, the other shows, you know, they're going to play it.
Oh, because, you know, it's like, look what this guy got stuck doing.
That's the only Man on the Street segment I've ever liked. I don't like Man on the Street segments where they're like, hey, look, we're going to ask these people questions that they don't know, and we're going to make them look like morons. Yeah, we get it. Not everybody was curled up with their Encyclopedia Britannica in 1983. We fucking get it. People don't know shit. That's the same of every fucking segment. But this one, the reporter looked like the asshole. This is fun stuff.
That turnabout is fair play.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I don't like Steve Doocy.
No, I would really like them to corner Jay Leno and ask him questions he doesn't know the answers to. Because that part of his show, look at how stupid people are.
How long does it take the average man to shave his chin, Jay?
No, but there were some easy questions that these dumbbells didn't get.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, that's just sad, though.
Yeah, but that's fine.
And they got to sign a release, so it's not like, you know.
So they know they're going to getting yeah. made to yeah. look stupid. And
people
signed
a release
anyway.
To be on Cheaters, too, but they fucking did it.
I think that whole show is fake.
No.
It's got to be.
No, it's quality TV.
Ugh.
It's quality TV.
I see there's a fan of the show with us.
Highly rated show. It's good stuff.
Look at him turn it around. Look at him turn.
Come on, man, a lot of people watch it.
Oh, that's great. Oh, don't hurt yourself backpedaling.
No, I don't give a shit what people watch. Yeah. People go, more people watch Fox News. Go, yeah, we got a country full of morons. What's that have to do with anything?
They also watch Cheaters.
I would have told you the same thing without the stats. I know people. We're stupid.
Yeah.
What's your point?
Yeah.
But anyway, back to this story. But I just thought it was funny that Fox and Friends was reporting on this, and poor fucking Ducey's like trying to wrangle cats. He can't fucking do it. But again, it's not his fault. They set him up to fail.
Yeah, they did.
Unless they thought the sheer magnetism and star power of Steve Ducey would just draw people from going to work in ultra-liberal New York City to talk to Fox and Friends.
Well, I don't think it's ultra-liberal in New York, so I think he's running around with a MAGA hat. I think what
he's got a little Fox and Friends cube on his microphone.
I think everybody's in a hurry to get to work. They're not looking up from their phone because they don't want to be bothered.
Some of them looked at him and like, yeah, no, yeah. I'd rather not.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'd see the Fox and Friends cube and start screaming and running away like I'm a flame.
Oh, you know, at one point there was talk of me going on Fox and Friends. I'm like, ugh, I don't know if I want to do it or just fucking make them look stupid.
On what show?
Fox and Friends.
Oh, Fox and Friends. Okay.
Oh.
What are you going on there for, the scammer thing?
Yeah, that didn't happen, obviously. But there was talk of that. I'm like, do I even want to go on that show? Do I play it straight? Do I let them know what I really think of their awful show? And by the way, I want to get back to the story.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth Warren is not. Elizabeth Warren was offered the opportunity to go on Fox News and have a town hall on Fox News.
Right.
And she turned it down. I understand why. She's like, it's a propaganda thing, this, that, the other thing. I get all that.
Right.
But she's. I think she's making a huge mistake.
She is.
Yeah.
Because as I said to Joe. I've said, Joe, I go, you know, Joe, if you got past all the Pocahontas stuff, if you actually listen to what she's saying, I think there's a lot of things
there. Yeah, you know, yeah. She is the one with policy. And the thing about it is, you're worried about going on there. You can get your views out. If you're a good debater, you can get...
have to debate. But, she just has to have a shit down.
Hear me out. Yeah. But if you get questioned on it, you know, if you're that intuitive, you do have your policy down, you can get, you know, you could state your case,
right.
Maybe sway some minds.
Instead
of sitting there and having a I'm going to have me a beer. You know, I mean.
All right, that was just a little place. But it was stupid. It was bad, but relax.
But no, I'm not laying it into it that way. I'm saying, it's not like I'm going to, you know, and that's just what you're, I'm not saying, well, I just did, but I'm not saying, but what
I'm not
saying,
saying
is,
what I just said.
What I'm saying is optics wise, it's better to go on Fox and, you know, and have, the, you know, and get your point across.
I think she actually did
have
a fundraiser.
A contrived video.
I think she actually used it as a fundraiser, the fact that she's not going on. And I get it. A lot of people think it's a propaganda machine. And listen, and it helps their revenue and advertising, and people think they are fair and balanced. I get her argument.
Right.
I just think she's fucking wrong. I think if she goes on there, I think she would win over some Trump. First of all, Democrats watch it too.
Yeah.
But I think she would win over some Trump supporters, and she would be more than Pocahontas to
a lot.
Because right now, she's just Pocahontas.
That's
all
they've got.
She's the caricature that Donald Trump and the right wing have made her. Where in fact, she's actually a very intelligent woman, and she's been fighting for blue-collar people her whole career.
Legitimately, yes.
I think it's just a huge mistake. Bernie went on there. He did well. Pete Buttigieg got a fucking standing ovation from the Fox and Friends. And he made it from the Fox audience. And he went after Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham and called like Donald Trump like horrible, like grotesque. And he said all that during this town hall. And he got a standing ovation on there.
Wow.
You have to go to the belly of the beast.
Yeah.
I could just go, no, I'm just going to do my political jokes in liberal New York City. No, fuck that. I'm taking it all over the place.
One of the interesting things about this show is, like, if I went on, like, if I did another show or something like that.
How dare you?
But I give an example. Anthony Cumia's show. If I go on Ant's show.
Cheating on us.
No. But I'm sitting there with Ant. I'm sitting there with Dave, you know, Dave Landon. Down stuff like that. Everybody's right wing on that show.
Yeah,
and I go Trump. Yeah, and these guys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, and all I'm doing is, you know, you know, yeah.
masturbating after a while.
But here, right, exactly. But here,
which I enjoy.
nothing wrong with that.
It's hard for me not to do it during this show, to be quite honest. Yeah.
But you know, here I'm like, look, I'm the odd man out. A lot of stuff, but it makes it interesting. You know,
it makes it
interesting.
It's just because you're wrong.
No, you are. But that's half the fun. That's what makes it interesting.
I will say it's not as much fun being the quote unquote liberal guy on Kumia's show. it's not as much just because you, and it's not because of Anthony. It has nothing to do with Anthony.
Was it the Target shirt that they made you wear?
Nah.
No, it has nothing to do with Anthony at all. Or when I went on his brother Joe's show,
on Joe's show, I felt bad because on Joe's show he was orange,
and you love the color orange,
and I still
tribute to the president.
I still felt so bad. Look, and I'm like, you know, yeah, you put, and I'm like, I love a, you know, I like a fair fight. Like, oh, dude, I'm sorry. You know, we didn't. And Joe was a dude. I don't
No, but here's the problem. Here's the problem with those shows. And again, has nothing to do with the hosts. The problem is their audience is pretty much, at least the vocal part of their audience, the vocal part of it is pretty much one way. And they're not going to change their mind or be open to things. So there's no point. Whereas our audience, they're of all political persuasions.
I think so.
Not that, because we don't do just politics, thank God. And I've been doing less of that shit.
Right, right.
But, you know, they're all political persuasions. But we're not politicians. No. We're not trying to get people's votes. We're doing our own fucking thing here. She's trying to get votes.
Yes.
She's making, you know, go have the town hall. Yeah. You know,
here's the thing. How, if you're going on, and you said it, and I've heard it as well, that Elizabeth Warren is one of the few, or maybe one or two, that actually goes out with policy.
Right.
So if you go on Fox and you do okay or not, and you're arguing policy, a lot of Fox viewers, you're not, you know, you might sway them, but you've got nothing to lose.
Right.
If they're not going to go that way anyway,
you know? They wouldn't know what to do with policy. Donald Trump didn't run on policy.
No.
I mean, she actually has plans for everything. That's the fucking running joke with her. It's like, I got a plan for that.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Donald Trump, we've seen this, he gets very upset when the Democrats go on Fox and do well. He tweets, he gets very upset like they're cheating on him right in front of his face.
Right.
She would piss him off.
Oh,
to
yeah.
no fucking. I
yeah.
think it's a mistake, but I'm not her campaign manager.
I think with Fox as well. I think Murdoch's family is running the station now, and I think they're run by primarily women, and they've been changing the way they're changing their the way they're going to business and the way they're presenting everything. So it's believe me, it's not, you know, it's leaning more. Right, not far right, but a little bit moderate.
So when does the nighttime programming get that memo? I mean, listen, I don't give a shit. They could do whatever they want. I don't care. I think their opinion hosts are garbage. Yeah. I do that. They don't, but whatever. They can do whatever they want. I like some of their journalists. Even if they, you know, I like Chris Wallace. I like Shepard Smith. And Shepard Smith gets nothing but fucking hate from the Fox viewers and everything, because he's a legitimate news person. He's reporting the fucking news as opposed to giving opinions and nonsense. But right. but then there's other ones that are journalists that are claimed as journalists that are not.
Right.
But no, but she would be going on with some of the journalists and lesser journalists. She's not going on with fucking Hannity.
Right.
Going on with Tucker Carlson. She's going on with Brett Baer. She's going on with Martha McCollum, who I don't have a lot of respect for. But Brett Baer I respect. I mean, he might be right wing. I don't know.
Why do you respect Martha McCollum?
Why don't I respect... All right, real quick, and then I'm going to get back to this story. So during the football season, she had Fat Huckabee on. You go, which Huckabee is that? I'm talking about the older one, the man. what's the?
So you're shaming?
Yes.
He's open about it.
I'm not the fucking. I'm not a liberal like you fucking hold up. I say terrible things. I'm shaming him because he's a scumbag. I don't give a shit. He could be a fat scumbag or a thin scumbag. He's still a scumbag. Anyway, that's not the point. Mike Huckabee, Governor Huckabee. So he's on there and he's talking about this past football season. And I get the kneeling came up again. I guess Trump was talking about that shit, whatever, which is so like 2016. But whatever.
Right.
So he's talking about it, and he's like, you know, and the football ratings have never been lower. People aren't watching it. That doesn't sound right.
Right.
And Martha McCullough was just listening to this. So I quickly Googled what the NFL ratings are, and they were up a lot
this
football season.
Wow.
The NFL ratings, like last year they had a tough time, but this year the NFL ratings bounced way back to doing really well. Like the highest rated shows on TV are a lot of the broadcasts and everything. And she just fucking let him pontificate and put that out there as fact. I'm like, well, you're not a fucking journalist, because a journalist calls bullshit. And I understand you're in the middle of an interview, but you have a producer in your ear.
Right.
If you're going to be
a
journalist, you go, excuse me, governor, but here's the reality. You know, last year there was a drop, but this year they've bounced right back. The NFL is as popular as ever. People are flocking to the TV show, so it's just not true. What do you attribute that? That's what a fucking journalist does.
Right.
So that's why I can't respect Martha McCollum, because she just allowed him to fucking pontificate and didn't call him on
it. Well, maybe you should not respect her. Maybe not respect the producer if you're going to call out
her
the
fucking show.
The
show. She's calling the shots. And you know what? If you're going to have that kind of... you're bringing them on to talk about the NFL. So as a journalist, you need to do your due diligence. You need to do your fucking research. Because you know he's on the show for a specific reason, and these are going to be his talking points. You pretty much know what your guest... Especially on something like that, on Fox News. They know what their guest is going to say.
I didn't realize that was specifically the topic at hand. No, that's... In that case, they definitely should have done their homework and called him on it.
It was more of the culture war bullshit that Fox likes to do, which is fine. They can program whatever they want, but I'm just not going to look at her the same way I might look at a Brett Baer, a Shepard Smith, or somebody from another network.
And Chris Wallace.
I like Chris Wallace.
Yeah,
Chris Wallace sinks his teeth, you know, as much as he can into both sides. I mean, he won't get into the, like, he was doing an interview with Eric Swalwell, and Eric Swalwell, who's running for president, he's a congressman.
That name is familiar.
All right, whatever.
You know who was the... Who,
but anyway, so Swalwell said something about Fox News, and Wallace like, well, we're not going to talk about Fox News. fine, I get it. Go on, Jim.
You know who's good? Who was the one that that passed away recently? Oh, God, I forgot his name. He was...
What a tribute. Krauthammer?
Krauthammer. He was really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Here's what I like about Krauthammer. I can't believe we're having this conversation.
It's a good conversation.
Here's what I liked about Krauthammer, and what I like about, you know, these ones that are anti-Trumpers. Here's what I like about them. Because they don't like Trump and you don't like Trump. Yes, but here's what I like about them. They are conservatives. They've always been conservatives, which, even though I don't agree with their outlook and their what they believe in per se,
right,
or at least everything, to be a conservative, you cannot like Donald Trump and this government, the Republican government they have, because they're not strong on foreign affairs. They're not good on fucking spending. We're record deficits. There's a ton of things. They're not good on eminent domain. I've talked about that.
That's crazy.
With the wall. I mean, these are traditional things that conservatives, forget about what I thought about them personally, what conservatives
have always believed in.
Right.
And
now most of the Republicans are rolling over. Donald Trump's not a conservative. So I respect that. I can always respect somebody if they have a moral core. I don't have to agree with
it. Well, Krauthammer was very critical of Trump.
Right, but he's But he was a conservative. So he was very critical about Obama too. And I might be if I was watching, that son of a bitch. But you know what? His complaints about Obama were complaints that would have been, you know, with Trump. It's like, this is what I believe, and I think this is wrong because I believe it. I can respect that.
Well, you're very strong on, and I agree with this, having a strong moral core, but also being consistent in your beliefs.
Yes. And if you're going to change your beliefs, own it and tell me why. Go, listen,
right,
I used to think this.
Right.
But now I think that.
And this is why.
As opposed to, well, now our team's doing it, which is why I fucking laugh. Because Trump is getting away with shit. He's getting away, and the Republicans are just rolling over. And I'm like, a Democratic president is going to, because every president takes a little bit more, power. A Democratic president at some point is going to come into power and roll over the Constitution like this president does. And all these Republicans are going to be yelling, and Joe will be yelling with their head on fire. And normally I would agree with him. I'm just going to fucking laugh. Go, now you care. Now you give a shit. I told you this shit was going to happen. Because eventually Trump is not going to be president.
Right.
Whether it's in...
Shh, bite your tongue.
I know, Josh. It'll be okay. But
he just left.
Daddy's going to leave some point.
He just left milk and cookies for Santa.
No, but eventually you're going to get a Democrat who's gonna badmouth Republicans on foreign soil.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to side we'll say, with fucking killers and murderers, and you're going to be screaming, go, what the fuck is he doing? I can't believe it. I'm going to go, now you give a shit? Mm-hmm. Now, the time was, that's why, I'm like, it's coming, man, it's coming. That's why I've been consistent. There was things Bush did, you know, Bush took away our civil rights after 9/11, mm-hmm. Obama took away our civil rights after, yeah. they just do it.
They just, yeah.
But people aren't consistent.
Right.
But yeah, I respected Krauthammer. I didn't agree with him. I don't have to agree with somebody to respect somebody. If you know.
Right. No, you don't.
But he had great, you know, he was just so well thought out.
I like that. I respect that.
Especially during the election.
And then under Trump, they stopped putting him on Fox News. He used to be on Fox all the time.
No, he got sick.
No, I know that. But even before that, he wasn't on there as much. He used to be a regular. Same with Bill Kristol, who's another conservative who now is on CNN, MSNBC.
I think it was on. I mean, you know, because with his help, but I don't think they pulled him on. I mean,
he wasn't on as much as he used to.
I think it was because I used to watch that every night because I was a very big fan of his, and I used to look forward to.
That was before he was talking bad about my guy.
No, I respected his commentary because he was not an ass powderer. You know,
So,
I respected his opinion. I wanted to hear what he had to say about us. I used to, if there was a certain thing, that Trump did or the election or the thing, Krauthammer was on that night. I wanted to hear his take on it.
Yeah.
Because he didn't, he would say something thoughtful, something that, that if I, on this show and he brought it up as something to think about, you might have a point,
Yeah. So, is no more conservative party. That's done. Mm. There's the Trump party.
Right.
And there's the Democrats, whatever you think of the Democrats. But there's no more conservative party because what they allow now is not traditional. It's not Reagan Republicans. It's not the Bushes, who I didn't fucking like either.
No.
I like Senior. I mean, again, I'm not going to agree with everything he's done, but I thought he was a classy guy.
I did too.
I respected Senior.
Yes.
And he did some good things, and people gave him shit. He had to raise taxes. Yeah, he had to raise taxes because he knew trickle down economics was voodoo economics, as he called it in 1980. It was bullshit, and he got caught holding the bag. That shit happens.
Yeah.
Well, when he said "read my lips, no new taxes," the whole thing was the whole thing with Bush Senior is that he was not realizing that the economy was tanking and really did not address was bad optics, and that's
right.
The thing.
He didn't explain it to the people.
That's what cost.
But to
him the
do
election.
That, he would have had to kill Reagan. He would have had to say, "Listen, I told you folks in 1980 that this wasn't going to work, and now it's time to pay the pauper." And you couldn't, where he was at that time, you couldn't kill Ronald Reagan.
No,
and he certainly couldn't kill Ronald Reagan. Donald Trump could kill Ronald Reagan. Everybody go, oh, okay, that's cool. George Bush Senior, George Bush Junior,
wouldn't have been allowed.
No, you couldn't do that. But yes, you're right. It was not explained to the people, and I don't think the people would have wanted to hear it anyway. But that's what happened. The bottom fell out of trickle down economics, and he happened to be president at the fucking time. So he did what he had to do to try to put the country on a better path, and he got held accountable for that. And we got Bill Clinton. I thought, I thought Clinton was a good president at the time. Some things don't age well,
right?
But that's okay.
Yeah.
But at the time, I thought he did a good job.
I did too, until we found out what a scumbag he was.
Well, we kind of knew what a scumbag he was.
But not
I was in high school
extent.
At the time.
Yeah.
We weren't really worried about that shit now.
No.
It doesn't age well, though.
No.
It doesn't age well. But whatever. I just like consistency, as I said before. So yeah, I have respect for Krauthammer, and I have respect for journalists, regardless of the network. I don't have respect for talking heads that are just so fucking political you could see their opinion coming a mile away.
Agreed.
Which is why I like CNN, Clinton News Network. Now they have people from both sides on there, which I enjoy.
Yeah, I do too.
But it's hard to find you can't really find conservatives that are supporting Trump.
Because their agenda is a little,
it's a conservative agenda.
Yeah.
The thing they can agree on is they want lower taxes. But they can't agree on fucking a deficit that we have. They can't agree on bowing down to dictators. They can't agree on eminent domain. Religion, you go either way depending on the conservative.
Right.
Listen, the one thing Trump has delivered to his people, the people that voted for him, was he said, I was going to give you anti-Roe versus Wade judges. And he has done that. So that has been the one – so if you voted for him for that reason, and a lot of folks did, he's given you that. So – and. The other things I don't think he's delivered on, but he's delivered on that, which, say, I'm not a fan of it, but if you voted for him for that, you would be happy with that.
No, I didn't vote for that.
No, you didn't. No.
Yeah.
I was saying a couple of years ago, there was a comic that I was working with who was a political lobbyist, and she worked for a couple of campaigns, and she brought up a very good point that you have to pander to that far right Christian base because they're always going to be there. You know, you try to get like a, you know, more moderate base, but that far right Christian base you have to play to because they're going to be there. You don't want to lose that because that's your foundation. Listen, that's just politics.
We're seeing that with the Democrats too. You know, they're having to jog to the left for the primary. You know, do you want to be like Biden, which is a moderate? Or do you want to, you know, go, not that she's running for president, but Ocasio-Cortez, who's much more liberal. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah, both parties both parties have got their hands full.
Yep.
Oh, they sure do.
That's what happens when you have a two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. All right, back to this fucking law.
That should be the segment. Welcome to this fucking law.
No, I mean, look at this fucking law.
I did the intro for it.
Yeah, that's it. Right there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the proposal's still in committee. But the idea is already on a collision course with pedestrians. So they interview this guy, Chris Warner. He thinks it's a dumb proposal. I'm still going to text while crossing. Alejandro Cerda, 29, agreed as he texts his way across 7th and 27th Avenue. Can we vote these lawmakers out? A Lower East Side resident. The law would include the use of any kind of portable electronic device. Pardon me. Meaning laptops and laptops. Who the fuck's walking across the street with a laptop?
Can you imagine? I read that and I'm like, really?
You'd be surprised.
Gaming devices, although it exempts texting during an emergency.
Okay. I don't want there to ever be, but if there was like another 9/11, all bets are off. People are going to be
nobody can get service anyway if there's a 9/11.
I know.
But it's aimed primarily at people who text and walk, says sponsors Felix Ortiz, Democrat of Bronx, and Senator John Liu, a Democrat from Queens. I have been receiving so many complaints from people saying, please ban text messaging when people are crossing. Do you like the proposed law? You know, in theory, it's good, but I think it's too fucking cumbersome to try to enforce. I mean, you know, listen, I say jungle rules. A gentle fucking tap from a taxi cab will fucking get your head out of your phone and fucking pay attention. Jungle rules, baby.
I don't know how they would enforce this, but I do think that it's something that people really shouldn't be doing.
It's crazy. It's annoying.
It's dangerous.
I'm sure I've done it at some point. I'm positive I've done it at some point.
I look up.
You get so engrossed. And you go, well, I have the right of way.
I know, but the crazy thing is, it's like, okay, you're leaving the curb. Look the fuck up. Get across the street. Back. Put your head back down.
We just get so engrossed in what we're doing.
Ugh. It's just crazy, though.
Is this story giving you agita, Nana?
Yeah, it is.
No, you are.
You know, I was kind of split on this. You know, it's like, it's getting to be an epidemic with people, you know, just looking at their phones. And then it's like, but on the other hand, now it's the government getting intrusive in our, you know, in our freedoms. So I'm going with jungle rules as well. So much so that I would put out a public service announcement saying that
we've done that before. Are you volunteering?
Yeah. That if you, you know, that there is going to be a law in the books where if you get hit or get in an accident and it is found that you're texting, you have no legal ramifications whatsoever.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if it's, that, you know, you have.
Well, that's why it would be a good thing to have it on the books, because then there would be some defense for the car that tapped somebody, you know.
Right. Like, but I mean, as a driver, you still have to see what's in front of you.
Of course you do.
I mean, you really can't still hit people.
What happens is.
Too bad.
Yeah. But what happens is, in that respect, is that, well, I was driving, you know, I was coming to the crossroad and this person, you know, I saw this person, they weren't looking up and I thought I could make, but right then and there. Right then and there, the rule of law would say you have an expectation to take caution with everything you see. And so whether she's on the phone, you should air caution to her, or, you know, if there's a air caution to the bicycle, that is your responsibility. And I had when I was in jury duty, we had a case like that. So that's the law there. So if you're a driver, you got to be careful of that, you know.
Right.
But they should also have something that, if that person is not looking up and on the phone, and obviously they could take the phone record. They have the phone record. If you were what you were doing. You know, you present it in a case of law, and any legal ramifications are waived on that. So this way, you're not intrusive. If you know what's going to happen if you
you know, get hit and you're on the phone, you take
that
chance.
What's the difference between texting and talking on the phone? I mean, this woman I was talking about in Sugarloaf, she was talking on the phone and not paying attention.
Yeah.
People get engrossed in phone calls.
Oh, they totally do.
That's why we can't, like, talk and drive unless you're using hands-free.
Yeah,
it's crazy because whatever it is about using the same skills or same part of the brain, and all of a sudden people get so engrossed in the conversation, they're not driving the way they even normally would.
I just don't think there's – I don't think a new law – is the answer. I don't know what is the answer. Maybe enough people get hit is the answer.
Yeah.
That's probably that's it, you know, if you see. But you know what, people,
I'm volunteering my services.
Good. Grab your phone, walk in an intersection.
No, that I wasn't. Well, not that service.
No. I want to be
as the hitter, not the hit to you, asshole.
I would like to be one of the
grouchy
teachers.
Oh, yes. You just told me to get hit by a car. It kind of ruffled my feathers.
And
I'm
look,
sorry.
And he's ruffling his brow, really? That's when I say good evening.
It's like, yeah, you know what? No, I don't think he's being a wet hen here. You just told him to get run over. Go play in traffic while you're texting.
Hmm. He's a horrible human being.
We all are.
Yeah, him more
are you
so.
New?
Yeah. Him more so.
I don't know.
Trust me, I know.
I think we take turns.
No, he's the worst.
God, like a school of sharks. You know, he splashed his tail at me. He's an asshole. We're a bunch of sharks. Well, he's a meaner one.
Yeah, but you're the only.
Yeah,
you're the only one that has a shark on your phone. I rest my case.
Yeah.
He's got you there.
It's an inspiration to you. Some people have quotes from Jesus. You have a fucking shark to remind you who you are. All right. This is an interesting story. An Ontario firefighter and self-described ethical vegan, Adam Knuff. Enough about him. 40 claims his human rights were violated in 2017 when he fought the fire near Williams Lake in British Columbia. Knuff has officially filed a complaint with the Human Rights Tribunal of Ontario against his employer, the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry, for allegedly failing to deliver him vegan food and then suspending him after he piped up about the matter. The Ontario Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry discriminated against me and failed to accommodate my sincerely held ethical beliefs when it failed to provide me with food that accommodated my personal commitment to ethical veganism, and then disciplined me and suspended me because I attempted to assert my right to accommodation of that sincerely held ethical belief. He wrote in the complaint. Knopf went on to say in the complaint, I am an ethical vegan in that I not only follow vegan diet, but I extend the philosophy of non-consumption of animal products to all other areas of my life. So he wouldn't have leather shoes, for instance.
Right.
He's a Crocs type of guy.
Oh, God.
I do not think that humans have the moral right to oppress other beings or to cause them pain and suffering. Knopf was one of 1,000 firefighters to arrive at Williams Lake on July 15, 2017 to battle the forest fire, which President Trump said, oh, if you guys just would have raked it, we wouldn't have this issue right now. You got to rake them woods.
Just like you can't leave grass clippings around, you got to go rake the woods.
Oh, well, there's glass clippings around.
Yeah.
There's grass. I can't fucking talk. You know what's around.
I know.
But what Trump was saying was that when they're clear cutting, they should be taking care of the brush because the brush works as kindling. So they should work to clean if they're doing cutting or whatever.
Yeah, but these were started by lightning.
Yeah, but I understand that. But basically, he was saying in general, in forestry practice, you want to try to get that stuff clean and try to keep it clean.
Do you really
as
think
possible.
He's an expert on forestry?
Mm, yeah, there is.
No, I said, no, I know
no,
there
do
is.
Do you think he is?
Do you think he is?
He was just saying what
the experts
told him.
No, the experts did not agree with that, but I don't want to talk about his opinions on forestry. So this caused the evacuation of 10,000 homes for up to 16 hours per day. The firefighter claims that the ministry knew about his dietary constraints since he filled out a food information form for the trip. On some days during my deployment to Williams Lake, I was not provided with any food that was vegan or not otherwise contaminated with animal products and therefore forced to go hungry, he wrote in the complaint. The day after arriving in the area, he claims he was forced to eat salad and side dishes, and the next day only plain bagels and coffee from a Tim Hortons, the only nearby store that was open. The following day, Knopf says he was only given beans, oatmeal, and fruit to eat, but the beans were magical.
I bet they were.
After working 16-hour days for 4 days with inadequate nutrition, I began to feel physically ill and mentally groggy. Until that point, I had been trying to push through my hunger and exhaustion, sustaining myself on nuts and fruits. During one of the days firefighting the fire, he was given a single black bean was his only source of protein.
That's crazy.
Yeah, what about a white bean?
Well, he wasn't being racial.
He might have been. I don't know. I don't know this guy. Vegan burgers were supposed to be served at a barbecue for the firefighters on July 23rd of that year. But Knopf claims that the chef handled regular beef patties with the same gloves he used to handle the vegan patties, ultimately tainting them. No one seemed to take my ethical beliefs seriously. The next day, when Knopf was not served any protein, he went to his supervisor, who offered him protein bars. I was upset and told him no, and then he told him with a curse word to fix the problem, Knopf wrote. I know that I should not have sworn, but I was starving over here. Exhausted, humiliated, and defeated, I have reached my breaking point. When he was served some non-vegan food for the next day, he dumped it out in front of the food staffers, angrily saying, "This isn't vegan!" And that's when Knopf's supervisor sent him home, the news outlet reported. The ministry denied Knopf's allegations that his human rights were violated and said Knopf was suspended 3 days without pay due to his inappropriate, insubordinate, unprofessional, and aggressive behavior. Nobody wants an aggressive firefighter. The ministry also claims that Knopf threw the non-vegan food at staffers, an accusation Knopf denies. Knopf was ultimately barred from fires outside the province for the rest of 2017 and all of 2018. The ministry, according to CTV News, said that Knopf's vegan status is a sincerely held lifestyle choice but does not meet the legal definition of creed, and said it supported the employees and accommodated his food restrictions as if it were a component of his health needs or part of a recognized creed. I don't feel that he was discriminated against, because I think when you're discriminated against, I would need to know what their frame of mind was, like how they – I don't know if they were ignorant.
Yeah.
Or if they were willfully just like, fuck this guy. It's hard to tell.
Well, you know what? Enough of this guy.
Yeah. Been saving that since Friday.
Huddle. This guy's an asshole. All right? Fuck this guy. All right? We're at a fire. We're at a forest fire. This isn't a jamboree. We're trying to put the fire out. We got houses on fire. And we got to worry about your vegan bullshit.
Well. Clearly they are worried about it because they had them fill out a food form.
Yeah, but
so this is a concern.
Yeah, but you want to know something? The whole thing about their main concern is putting out the damn fire and not what, and the guy, and because he's not going to eat the veggie burger because somebody touched it with gloves. This guy's an asshole. Put your shit in your truck and get out of here. Let men put out the forest fire. Jesus
Christ. So this guy's not a man now.
He's an asshole. He's a whiny asshole. You mean to tell me in the middle of a forest fire we got to cater this shithead? That's ridiculous. We got people, we got men, we could get killed out here.
So what happens if it was kosher? What happens if it's kosher? And same thing.
We're having a forest fire. If this is what
we're having a forest fire.
There's a forest fire.
We
have lives
fire.
At stake.
It's not a bonfire, asshole. Nobody
acres
planned
have
it.
Been eaten by fires. We got house lives in danger, and we got to worry about this. Yeah, this is nonsense.
But this is Canada. They do worry about that stuff.
Oh, because they're asshole. They're an asshole country. That's why they're up north.
Alaska's up north, too. What's it have to do with anything?
Yeah, well, that's where we keep everything.
It's not our attic. It's not America's attic.
Of course it is.
It's most certainly.
I've got old boxes in Juneau. Shut up.
Is that her name?
Wait, Joe's girl saying, what if someone had allergies?
Ooh.
And I thought about that, too, because the whole part about that it was contaminated with the
peanuts,
glove,
same thing.
Well, I have shellfish allergies, and that could send me to the hospital.
Yeah, and we know how that goes for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that doesn't go well.
Next thing you know, Pip's not doing a show because she's fighting a fire.
Something like that.
Now you would say an allergy could kill you, and you know,
but
in this
there
case,
are some people that
but in this case, his life was not in peril.
Right, but there are some people that poo-poo allergies and are just like, oh, you're just being fussy.
Right,
and
they don't...
I think that there's a great, because there are a lot of really fussy, pain in the ass vegans,
and this guy is one of them.
Well, and that's the thing is that there's. I'm on the fence about this because I am understanding what you're saying is like, we're in the middle of a forest fire. Now all of a sudden you're going to be like,
oh, yeah.
I only like pinto beans.
Exactly. That's the way I'm taking it.
Yeah, but even at the fucking barbecue, which I don't think was at the forest fire.
No, that was gross to him.
Ugh.
And I understand
No,
that.
I mean, no, you're having a barbecue and you know this guy.
Yeah, it's called the forest.
No.
At the barbecue where they the guy was handling the gloves.
That's where it shows. Meat. Like, well, maybe they're not. Maybe it's not. Well, this is an emergency situation, and you know, this is why we didn't do it as well as we'd like to. There's no excuse at the barbecue.
That was ignorant.
Right at the barbecue.
Really
at the barbecue, you either don't give a shit or you don't know.
I think the barbecue is there because there's a forest fire which is causing the evacuation of about 10,000 homes, and they're working on it 16 hours a day. Are we getting the other truck? Is the helicopter with the water coming? No. We got to worry if the shiitake mushroom truck is fucking showing up for this guy.
Well, I mean, Joe's girl makes a point, and I'm glad she's saying it because this is just what I was going to say next. But why bother asking them to fill out a form if they saw that they should have decided? If they saw that they should have decided not to send him if they couldn't accommodate him.
You know, the problem with Joe's girl is she's clearly a bleeding heart liberal.
No, she
raises a good point. It's like,
why,
you know,
ask?
You know what? If you're not going to accommodate this guy, you know, filling out the form, go, listen, we can't have you at this particular fire. It's going to be lengthy because we are not equipped to accommodate your dietary needs. That's a very valid point.
But also, I mean, it would have been so simple. Anybody who understands anything about nutrition, all he needs is to have complete proteins, beans and rice. There's nothing simpler than doing this.
Right, but
you know?
I think the reaction to the protein bar was a bit much.
Yeah, this guy sounds like a pain in the
ass. At that point,
because that is a valid substitute.
Right, and not being there, he could have been being the biggest pain in the ass. It's like, you're just being a dick.
But
now.
Again, he was exhausted.
But he was exhausted and starving.
Right.
And everybody has got their breaking point. And he wasn't being listened to.
Right.
And it's like, so
he's risking, I mean, Joe wants to call him a pussy. He's risking his life.
Yeah, and you want to know something? You're in the middle of a fire. You're battling a fire. Lives are in danger. You know what? Have a fucking hot dog and deal with it. You'll be back and you can eat your fucking tofu burger when
should an Orthodox Jew do that?
An Orthodox Jew, you know what? If these are the parameters of fighting a fire, and you got to realize that we're not running a fucking
party.
But
clearly they're not the parameters, because as has been pointed out by Joe's girl and Pip, they are taking an interest. They
you know
do
what?
Want to know.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, they're taking interest. But you know what? With an emergency like that, you know, more consideration is putting on water, personnel, a safe route out.
They don't have the form.
Stuff like that. Or don't have the fire. We'll just forget the fire.
No, but you're not. No, but you're totally
I understand what it is, but it's common sense and it's bullshit in this situation.
So then why do they have the form?
You know what? Because probably it's Canada and they have to have it and it's nice. But you know what, Davin? Sometimes in certain situations, you got to throw shit out the window. And this is a certain situation.
If they were starving, if, you know, they're on a desert island, you know what? Everybody's going to have to, you know.
They're bringing food in anyway. It's not like they're living off of what's there.
Right.
They're bringing food in. It's not hard to bring what this guy needs in.
They could have sourced that.
You know what, though? If you're trying to get that much food up there to get that many men on a situation that is literally changing by the hour.
They got somebody back in the office doing that, I'm sure.
Yeah, but in a situation that is literally changing by the hour, you're dealing with logistics, you're dealing with trying to get everybody in there, getting this fire
out,
getting safe.
He's the only one that wasn't fed, so they're getting food there. It's not like there was a shortage of food.
He wasn't getting fed, it was his own choice.
Right, but okay? It's not like there's a shortage of food. They have ways to bring food into the area. So if you're bringing food into the area, put a couple veggie burgers on the fucking truck and be going with it. Now, if he had an issue with the gloves at the fire,
then
you go.
Come on,
it's like,
dude,
it's the fucking fire. This guy isn't a trained chef.
Right.
You know, you cook it yourself.
Yeah,
but they could have had the stuff there.
No, they definitely could.
I don't think it's discrimination, though. You know,
I think it was inconsiderate. It was incredibly inconsiderate because what you asked him, he told you. I mean, it's not.
But see, that's just it. I don't know.
Vegan diet is not.
Think a lot of people know what a vegan diet is.
They don't.
Because there's pescatarian, there's vegetarian,
right.
There's vegan.
Right.
So I don't think a lot of people do.
You know what? If this was at the firehouse, if this was at the firehouse, it was
time for chapstick.
Yeah, I know. Because of the fucking sunburn. You know,
shouldn't be kissing the sun.
If this was at the firehouse, okay, and this was a situation, I'm like, yeah, you know, what are these guys doing? You're at a situation that is dangerous. It's changing by the minute. You got logistics. You're trying to get people in and out. You're trying to save houses. You're trying to save lives. And they're trying, you know, and you're trying to get the food. Maybe it's safe where they're eating now. And you got to realize that the first thing is, you know, in a situation that your diet might have to be put to the side for today or to leave the fire is out.
If it was today, if it was day one and they realize they're having the problems, then you sit down and go, listen,
and maybe,
we thought we were going to be able to get you the food. We can't. So your choice is you can stay here and we're going to do the best we can for you, but it might not be up to these, or we can send you back. Present him that choice after day one.
And then you say, well, what's the form for? Maybe it's the form so that they know what to get at the firehouse, at the regular.
No, it wasn't that. No, this was to leave the region. This was to go to another province to fight a fire.
Yeah, this was specifically for this event.
Yeah. Sometimes in situations like that, shit don't work out the way you want. Due to the logistics, due to the situation, you know, and you got to deal with it.
All right, but if that was their answer, they could have said, "Well, you know what? We can't accommodate you. You can go home." They didn't give him the choice.
No, they didn't. They didn't send him home until he was at his breaking point.
Yeah, and when look, I get hangry. Blood
sugar
drops.
That's why we don't
drops.
Stand too close to your maw.
Yeah, my blood pressure drops, and it's like if I'm like, you know, gardening outside or I'm doing something like, and I'm not getting, and I'm all of a sudden my, you know, blood sugar drops. I'm not the most pleasant person to be around. I need food now.
Yeah.
And this guy is out fighting fires. It's got to deplete all
I feel like
this
both,
energy.
I feel like both sides are wrong.
Yeah, and I do too.
I feel like this could have been handled a lot better.
I think throwing the food when they gave him stuff, and this wasn't vegan either. You can't, look, you're not allowed to have a tantrum because you're hangry. But you're, you know, I understand his feelings though, because how many days in a row, and like the one day, it's like, well, if you gave me a bean, like,
yeah, it's just insulting.
Yeah,
that's insulting at that.
You know, it's like, well, if you know I can eat beans, couldn't you give me a whole bunch of beans and some rice so I can have a complex protein that isn't from animals, and I could get some energy so I can do what I'm supposed to do? It's not impossible.
No,
he told you what he could eat. You can, if you can get everybody else fed out there,
you can get this guy fed.
Listen, even
I don't think they should have suspended him for as long as they did either.
No.
I thought that was a little excessive too.
The guy
can't leave the region for a year to fight fires over this?
For a year?
Well, then just tell the guy, listen, we can't, when we're doing a road fire, we can't get you fed. Just say that. We don't have the resources to do that. You're a home team firefighter. You know, let's be honest with everybody.
Back in the day, when there were local fires, the ladies' auxiliary would get a folding card table, they'd throw in a pot of coffee, and they'd have some donuts or sandwiches out so that the guys had something
back
to
when
have.
Women knew their place.
Well, I'm just saying that this is the old-fashioned way that they used to do it. Now, if one of those people that routinely showed up at a fire, you know, it's like, you know, Harry is Jewish, and so we need a kosher meal. Well, you know what? We're going to have Esther go and get him a kosher meal, keep
and
it in the freezer.
And Harry didn't just turn Jewish. Harry's been Jewish
He's
for a
been
while.
He's been Jewish, and he keeps showing up at the fires so we can plan.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, like grown-ups.
Yeah. Now, I do think a lot of people, and sometimes I have the same reaction, like I think sometimes we get annoyed by vegans, which we really shouldn't. But I know I do.
I do, too, sometimes.
And it's like, you know, I got vegans in my family, and you just got, and there's a party, go, for Christ's sakes, now I got to prepare separate fucking dishes.
But the thing about it is that I don't, if I'm eating with a vegan, I don't have a, you know, I don't have a problem. I'm in a restaurant. Nice night. A restaurant. I'm a vegan. All right, let's look, let's see if, you know, maybe I can make a couple of, you look through the menu, you know, see if we can help. Because I respect somebody's choice. But if I'm in a fire where lives are at stake, we're trying to get this thing out, we've got logistics, we've got this, you know, you got to relax, you know, look where we are.
It'd be different if this guy was brand new and they didn't know he was coming. It's like, oh, we didn't expect you, we didn't prepare for this.
If he just showed up and all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'm vegan.
Yeah.
But they asked him.
Yeah, they knew.
They knew.
So that's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't think it's discrimination, I think it's ignorance.
I think that people are still coming around to, because listen to us, we're all judgy about it,
you know,
too.
And it's like, well, I really need it. You know what, we were really thinking about it, we're trying to get the food, but we got preoccupied when there was a flashback and it almost killed 30 men and it just ruined fucking 5 trucks.
No,
so maybe
the problem with that is they're cooking food anyway. They're preparing food anyway. There's food there. So like I said, it doesn't take much to put a couple veggie burgers, bring the veggie burgers with the other burgers.
Yeah.
Like I said, now if he got all upset because the guy preparing the food at the fucking fire didn't separate, then you just go to, listen man, can you put on
but
different
that's but you know what? And I think that's exactly the case. He brought the veggie burgers up and well, he touched it with,
that was at
kidding?
The barbecue.
That was at the barbecue.
That's different. That was
ridiculous.
Like another day.
It's ridiculous. Just eat the damn food and be done with it. You're at a fire. It's just, it's extenuating circumstance.
You're going to have a long conversation on the ride home. We're going to have the after show in Joe's car. Please record it. I can't wait to see how this turns out.
Yeah, hold on. During the next break, I'm bugging Joe's car.
You could tell somebody who's actually nurtured people and Joe.
Because she also pointed out, and then suspend him? So she, yeah, she's not having this.
Well, he probably got suspended because he was carrying on like an asshole.
I look forward, I look forward to your difference of opinion next week.
No, the story is actually alluding to that.
Yeah,
it's not something I dreamed up.
No, at the end, I think that he was just done.
Yeah.
And
at the end, again, nobody handled it right.
He didn't behave himself right.
Yeah,
they didn't either.
They should have sent him home before that.
Yeah, somebody's got to run natural disasters a little bit better.
Well, it,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why there's people in charge of running
that
shit.
Because I'm sure when somebody's, you know, my house is on fire and my land and it's an inferno and the biggest concern of the fire department is making sure that stupid has tofu, you know?
Yeah, but on day four, you kind of fucking get it. Day one, go, all right, well, that didn't go well.
And it's not your first forest fire.
Yeah.
They do have auxiliary personnel
but,
that
you know,
do things.
On day four, maybe
support.
You realize how big things are. You know, if it was, it should just be day, if it wasn't a big deal, it'd be day one, everybody's back at the fire department. But day four, you know, it's a pretty dire situation up there.
And they should be able to get him a can of beans, goddammit.
Yeah. Oh, maybe they don't want him farting by the fire.
Yeah,
I know.
All right.
Blazing Saddles all over again.
So now a healthy dog was cremated to be with her dead.
Oh! Sorry.
Not about hemorrhoids.
Yeah, oh, sorry. I had a moment.
The two of you tonight, I swear. Emma, a healthy Shih Tzu mix, was euthanized recently because her owner left explicit instructions in her will. The fur baby was to be put down and laid to rest with her. Heartbroken shelter volunteers at Chesterfield County Animal Services, where Emma had a 2-week reprieve from death, said she was a well-bred, pampered, and much-loved pup, like Joe.
Here, Joe, I'm going to pat your head.
Well, pampered and much loved. I'm surprised you even let that slip through. You know that's not true.
Well, Brad, I'm not even sure about that.
Stupid's in a good mood tonight.
I was trying, but you keep calling me stupid. You're a fucking mongrel with rabies.
Never forget.
Come on, old yeller. I want to show you something behind the barn.
Oh, God.
There's my little owl. I was going to get my sound effect, but I won't shotgun you right now. They appealed to the executor of the dead woman's estate, begging them not to go through with ending Emma's life, but their pleas were ignored. We did suggest they could sign the dog over on numerous occasions because it's a dog we could easily find a home for and rehome, much different than Joe. Carrie Jones, manager of the Chesterfield County Animal Services, tells WWBT-NBC, but ultimately they came back on March 22nd and redeemed the dog. Emma was taken directly to a vet to be euthanized. After she was cremated, her ashes were placed in an urn and returned to the authorized representative of the estate, following her owner's last wishes to the letter. As news of Emma's untimely demise hit Twitter, the national reaction overwhelmingly negative. This is heartless, one animal lover tweets. What a selfish monster, another barks. And President Trump tweeted, why isn't anybody talking about me? WTF, people don't care for animals in life or death. This is heartless, inhumane, and pitiful, one particularly heated post reads. And the people who killed said dog are even more trash.
Trash.
While killing healthy pets so they can be interned with owners is sparking ethical debates on social media, the law is crystal clear, says Larry Spiaggi, president of the Virginia Funeral Directors Association. It's not legal to put a dog's cremated remains or any animal in a casket and bury them, says Spiaggi, as his chocolate lab piece trots laps around him. Years before the law changed, Spiaggi said a client asked him to make similar arrangements, and he's still haunted by today. Knowing while we were taking care of her that the poor dog was to be euthanized, I still ache over it. Some local vets tell the Virginia News outlet they refuse to carry out such services. Whenever we're faced with a euthanasia situation, it's a very emotional situation, and beyond everything we talk about that we need to do ethically, we've taken an oath to do, says Dr. Kenny Lucas of Shady Grove Animal Clinic in Glen Allen, Virginia. It's something we take home, too. It weighs on us as professional. On a side note, I just want to talk about euthanizing your animal real quick. I saw this on Facebook, so you know it's true. There was an article by veterinarians that said, like, 97% of, like, people, when it's time to put their pet down, you know, when it can't be helped for whatever reason,
right?
97% of the people are not in the room. So the animal's last moments, they're looking frantic.
They're looking around for somebody.
And the owner's like, well, it's too hard. Yeah, that's the fucking deal, though.
Yeah, too that's, bad.
That's the gig. That's the shitty part.
Yeah.
You got to do that.
Yeah. No, I had, when I put my cat down, I wanted to be there because I found her when she was a kitten. And I wanted to be there when I need to put it down. Yeah, I cried like a baby on home. You know, it's a rough thing to do. You know?
But you got to do it. It's not about you at your moment.
Yeah.
No.
It's about the animal.
It is about the animal. And
well, I think people, you know, just from the human element, I don't think people want to be there because you lose your shit.
Yeah. That's the
and
deal.
That's the deal. And like I said, I'm explaining. I'm not saying it's right.
Go in there and then you can post on Facebook about your rainbow bridge. But fucking be in the room.
Anyway, yeah.
I'll go on. While Virginia state code prohibits burying animals with humans in commercial cemeteries, there are exceptions for final resting spaces that are family owned. I am not a fan of the owner's decision.
That was the calmest way to put that ever.
I'm very calm.
Yeah.
I'm a news person. I'm a journalist.
I want to rip this person a new asshole with a crowbar.
Well, you can because they're dead.
Yeah, while they're still awake to know about it, that they wrote that down
well,
in their will.
You can't do that because they're dead.
No. If they're still living and they're writing that in their will, I want Fluffykins to be put down and buried with me. Fuck you hard with this crowbar that I stuck in the fire. You are complete asshole.
You know, you wouldn't think that she just read the story today, but she's a lot of passion there.
I think the woman was in their rights. I think it was a good idea.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. No, that's fun. This is awful.
You're in striking zone, man.
Would you stop?
Out of all the awful things this man has said on the show, that was the thing that was going to cause you to hit him?
Yes!
He's notoriously awful.
No, I know he's teasing
would you
me.
He argued
for Japanese internment camp, for God's sakes, on this fucking show, and that didn't cause you to almost hit him.
Because at the time, it was... we're not going to go back. This is awful. How could this woman request a healthy dog to be in the casket with her? That's awful. And also, I can't believe the law abided by this.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't say that, and we'll get into the law, but it doesn't say that her private space, that they have private space. I don't know if she does. But if they don't have private space and the dog can't be buried with her, then they should have told the executor, go, listen, we can't do this because the dog can't be buried with her. So you can't follow out the wishes, so we're not going
to
do it.
It would have been a great thing to bring up so that it didn't happen.
Again, I feel like I should have been put on call. I'm very busy solving everybody's
problems. I see. But,
you're busy getting your car. You probably couldn't make it.
I would have handled it.
Yeah. It's one of the most selfish things I've ever heard.
Yeah. To put a perfectly healthy dog to sleep.
All right, yeah, we're outraged by this. None of us like it, but here's the thing. People put down perfectly healthy animals all the time. Yes. Somebody in the house has an allergy. We got kids now. Yep. We're moving. There's no fucking outrage about that.
Oh, yes, there is.
From you.
No, from animal rights.
Not from
people?
The national media.
No.
Shit happens every day. Yes. People put down perfectly good cats, dogs, rabbits, guinea pigs, whatever.
Are there as much as by dropping them off as a kill shelter?
Or just leaving them in the street?
You might as well just set them on fire yourself.
Leaving them in the woods, you know.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
That's just as awful as well.
Right, but where's the... But that's not fucking illegal.
I see that on Facebook in particular. I see that all the time.
There was a very big outcry. There's a very big outcry on that. There's plenty of benefits to keep, you know, no kill shelters in business. You've got people like Paul Bond going out, you know, taking care of feral animals, feral cats and stuff like that. So there's a big outcry.
Another good name for a band, Feral Cats.
That is a good.
Better than the Stray Cats, a little bit more fucking bite.
I like that.
A little bit more of a rockin' edge to it, Joe.
But there's also, you know,
not
more...
Not as rockabilly, though. It's more metal than rockabilly. Stray Cats.
Yeah, so for your next band. Yeah. You've been in these two for a couple of times. That won't last forever, we know. It's only so long they can
Feral
put up with
cats.
Your shenanigans.
I like that name. There's also more legislation coming out to put people behind bars for harming animals. So I would think that this would be
ultimate. Right now, there are laws against beating your animals and and torturing them. Mm-hmm. There's no laws against putting a perfectly healthy animal, killing it. Essentially, that's what it is. It's not euthanasia is what you do when somebody's in pain and they're going to die.
Right.
This is not you. This is killing. Yeah. There's no laws against it.
No.
I don't know how much it happens.
It happens all the time.
Where somebody passes away and wants their pet euthanized.
Oh, this I don't know. What I'm saying
know.
Happens
but
all
in
the
that case,
what
yeah.
I'm saying happens all the time is humans have their circumstances change and the animal bites it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
happens.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, they might not necessarily bring them and say, okay, put my pet down, but they abandon them. They bring them to the shelters, and, you know, you bring them to a kill shelter. Like I said, you might as well set them on fire yourself.
I do think pets should be allowed to be buried with their owners. Now, I'm not saying this scenario, but I'm saying, like, I'm not saying kill a perfectly healthy.
Yeah, but if they died and
I guess there's a disease element to it, but I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm not really worried about what worms are going to catch.
Yeah, a lot of municipalities are not against that. You know, they want to keep everything very sanitary.
So they are against it.
A lot of them are.
And you're not supposed to bury your pets in the backyard or
people
or
do that too.
Like that. They do it all
now.
The time.
If you could be buried, would you want to be?
Well, I won't be buried, but sure.
Where are you going to go?
I'm going to be cremated.
Okay.
Would you like some tea?
Some snuff.
You really want to be? What if you get reincarnated? You're gonna have to.
You're gonna come back as a dust bunny.
You know, she's gonna have to live life in an ashtray.
She used to smoke. She'll love it.
Yeah.
Don't have to worry about that pesky lung cancer.
Right at home. No, you're not going to use your body again.
Now, so you would not do this to one of your animals?
Kill it so that it could join me in the grave now.
Now, I could think of a situation where I would do this.
Okay.
So my cat, Maui,
yes,
who is 17 in June, has a thyroid issue.
Right.
She has a heart murmur, which we're getting an EKG for. And, you know, I mean, they can medicate this shit. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The cat has a lot of needs. If I, and she's 17 years old.
Right.
If there was nobody in my family or friends that could take care of her.
Yes.
You know, if nobody could take care of her and there was no options, then I would do it because nobody's going to adopt her at that point. Nobody's going to adopt a 17-year-old cat with all these fucking needs that you got to medicate. And nobody is as invested in this cat as this family is.
Right.
So if nobody else could step up, if you couldn't step up, yeah, if family couldn't step up and let her live her remaining days,
right,
you know, I might do it then.
I think that that's a different scenario because you're talking about because at 17, as much as we know that they could still live longer, but they're considered elderly cats.
Yes.
So she's elderly and she has multiple
health issues.
It's slightly different.
Right, but
I'm saying
that scenario I could do. So like with you, so
I
like say with AIDS cat.
Yeah.
You're dying. Nobody's going to take an AIDS cat per se.
No.
Could you see yourself doing with AIDS cat?
I could. I mean, I would first. I would be trying everything I could possibly think of to rehome.
Of course.
But
then again, if you're on your deathbed, it's a little tougher to do that.
Right. Of course. But I mean, if there was no alternative, I could conceivably see yes. You know.
So there is a snare. But this dog, apparently, it would have been very easy for them to rehome it.
Yeah, they're like, it's a lovely, healthy pet. And what are you doing? No, there's no reason why the dog would have been euthanized other than this person dying and saying that this is my wish. It was incredibly selfish. And you know, it's astounding to me the kind of like, you know, poor, pitiful animals that you think, oh, there's no way anybody. But people have a huge capacity to take care of like the most poor and pitiful animals you've ever seen.
Right, but in my cat's particular, I mean, my cat's very loving, but most people aren't going to take on a 17-year-old cat.
A 17-year-old sick cat.
Yeah.
Most people will not. There are, there have been exceptions. And
obviously, first choice is if a friend or family can give her remaining days.
You know, I would.
You know, if I didn't have somebody in my family who would step up, I would absolutely give her to you.
Yeah.
And you know, and you set aside some money in your will to take care of the animal in its remaining days.
Yeah.
So you know, for like a cat like Maui,
that's
probably
what
like
that,
five
that's
or 10,000.
What that's what yeah, you know. Yeah. Obviously, this was a healthy animal, but that's what the woman should have done. She should have set it up with a cat. You know,
the dog was cared for. People do that too. They leave part of their estates. Somebody should take care of this animal.
Yeah.
For the animal.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. She was selfish.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Terrible.
So now we have a decision to make.
Okay.
We can talk about balls.
Right.
And then the show goes long.
Mm-hmm.
Or we could take a break. And come back with Ann Jackson and not talk about balls for the second week in a row.
Well, we've teased balls long enough.
And nobody wants to talk about blue balls. All right, so I guess we're going a little long tonight.
We're talking balls.
We're going a little long. All right. The male reproductive organ isn't exactly renowned for its aesthetic appeal, let's be honest. I wonder what your mind is saying.
Okay, well, we'll just take that at face value for the moment.
Oh, I'll fucking show you right now, woman.
Joe's girl says, balls, balls, balls.
Gargling with balls. Balls in my mouth. Balls in my hands.
Balls on my nose. You
balls,
know how it
balls,
is.
Balls.
Balls on my chin.
Joe, why don't you record that song with
balls,
your band?
Balls, balls, balls.
I didn't say do a parody. Oh. We wrote an original song with an original tune, and you had a Motley Crue it up.
Sorry.
Balls, balls, balls.
Yeah, because Motley Crue never sang about anything sexual.
Not those fine gents. And while most men accept this reality with a shrug, it has emerged a minority of men harbor such deep insecurities about their wrinkly scrotums, they're willing to invest substantially in their beautification. We're not talking about manscaping wax or a penis enlargement, although both are tried and true options for genital embellishment. Rather, allow us to enlighten you on the medical phenomenon that is scrotox.
Sounds like a Godzilla character. Well, no, you're the scrotox.
There's not one. There's two.
There's two.
He's coming right for Tokyo. They're rolling right at us.
It's all upset. It's red. Throw talcum powder at it.
Bong,
Scrotox
bong,
likes
bong,
talcum powder
bong.
On it. He'll be our friend.
Throw talcum powder on it.
Scrotox is the use of Botox, or one of three neurotoxins for muscle relaxation injected into the scrotum, says Dr. Jason Oates, principal surgeon and medical director of Calibre Clinic, a specialty practice dedicated to medical male enhancement procedures in Sydney, Melbourne, and Perth, Australia. I'm going to have to travel.
Yeah. We're going to make your balls big. Well, shoot some.
Put another ball on the chin, mate. Yeah. Scrotox procedure costs approximately $1,000, and Oates explains while some men choose Scrotox for cosmetic reasons, for the majority, the procedure is medicinal. The most common reason why we have guys asking for Scrotox is that their scrotum is tightly contracted, squeezing up on their testicles, and it's painful, like a boa constrictor.
Yeah.
It's a boa constrictor. The relax. What do you mean, yeah, that's fine. Really, balls, please, you should be so talented. The relaxation of the scrotum helps. I think your balls are too tight. I think that's why you had that reaction. Loosen your balls, Joe. The relaxation of the scrotum helps the testes to hang a bit lower and offer some relief. No balls, everybody down. Because you never know your penis. You never know your friend when you got two balls hanging low in town.
I was thinking, swing low.
See, you should have come in last week. We would have cheered you up. We would have done the story last week. You would have forgotten all about your heart problem. You would have thought about Mr. Helix's balls.
We held our balls till you came in.
We most certainly did. Waiting.
Wow. Thank you for the dedication.
Sure.
Sure.
Despite its success, it is still very uncommon treatment, partly because so few people know it exists until tonight. But patients who have the procedure for cosmetic reasons, they generally tend to be sexually confident men, and the higher proportion would be gay.
Well, the gay folks like to be well groomed and stuff like that. And I guess maybe some of them shave down there and they want their balls just so.
I was just
speaking from experience, are you?
No.
I was just thinking sort of a metrosexual kind of thing, right? You know, like manscaping and, you know, doing the eyebrows just so.
Yeah,
and,
like that.
You know what I mean?
That
and like,
down there,
that's
you know?
A little bit more extreme.
Shaving everything and keeping the balls unwrinkly.
This is up there with bleaching your asshole.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's more grooming. Well,
that's what happened to Hillary Clinton's emails.
Let's go get some Clorox and throw it on him.
Oh, that's funny.
Is it? I don't think it's funny at all. What's the matter, Joe? I'm not white enough for you, you fucking white supremacist?
Oh, my God.
We'll continue with the serious news story.
Yes, sir.
Well, that one landed. Don't you have a heart surgery you should be getting to, woman?
No, I'm actually feeling much better.
That's unfortunate.
Laughter's the best medicine.
It is. I'm feeling great.
Don't
now.
You feel good?
No. Right. I feel verklempt, and now my balls are tight.
Funny.
Oh, Tom says, I go for a smoke, and I come back to talk about balls and bleaching assholes.
Welcome back, sir.
You know how this rolls.
You've been missed.
What, would you like more Fox and Friends talk? Yeah. It was time to move on.
He's afraid to go out for a smoke.
I'll be trying to get Tom to stop smoking.
That's it.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
all right, so then they found a guy to do this. Enter Sean, a single heterosexual, 30-something from the suburbs of Perth, who heroically agreed to put his scrotum on the line. Joe, why can't you do things like this for the show? Put your scrotum on the line.
Yeah, right. Get your ball.
Preferably an electrified fence.
Yeah, funny.
Sean had a chat with Oates prior to the proceed. A chat? Talk about a fucking second opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yeah,
really?
A chat. Yeah.
We're going to have more than a chat. We're going to have a dissertation.
Yeah.
Prior to the procedure to discuss his concerns, but after Oates walked him through the procedure, he said he felt at ease. It's a very safe medication. It's been around for a long time. Scrotox injects. I can't stop laughing when I hear Scrotox.
I know, it's a great title.
Injections aren't made into the testicles itself, but into the skin, and it's absorbed into the nerves right where the injection is done. relaxing that muscle in the local area.
That's the sound that you make when they relax. That's that
sounds
muscle.
Like an orgasmic moose.
That ain't it.
In fact, Scrotox is often used to help boost men battling fertility issues, as it allows relaxation of the earth. Just chill balls. Chill balls.
Yeah.
Nothing to get all worked up about.
This jazz music going through people. Din, 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 din. How are you doing? That's the testicle. It's really groovy. Right on. Yeah. Make some sperm. They'll swim. Swim, little fellas. Swim.
My balls feel better. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
That was relaxing.
That was good, Joe. You should really you should talk to a lot of balls. You should be the ball whisperer.
Jeez,
I think I was just impregnated from that little talk. Sperm.
Joe would be a great ball whisperer. Get nice and close to them. Move the cock aside. Just say nice, reassuring things to it.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
How you
Everything's going to be okay.
I got a pair like you. Here's what my boys do. They're free swimmers. They backstroke.
That's
they
right.
breaststroke. They thigh stroke.
All of a sudden, you hear the constricted scrotum booing while it's unconstrict.
Oh, well, I might even be in the story right. And there was a time when Joanne and I, you know, Joanne was going for a fertility thing. Mm-hmm. And I took the test to see if I, you know, my fertility, you know, and I came through with flying colors.
And the first test he passed.
Funny. And then basically, Joanne's fertility doctor was saying that the gynecologist was saying that it was me that had the problem. My fertility doctor, the urologist, was saying, no, Joe's fine. It must be Joanne. The doctor's gotten an argument.
You're kidding.
They've gotten an argument about it.
You and your controversial balls.
Yes.
Wow.
So despite being a little nervous about not shaving his bits beforehand, Oates got to business.
After he got down into his business.
After having Sean apply some numbing cream to his jiggly bits, Oates proceeded to inject Sean's scrotum 55 times with a muscle relaxer.
Wow, it's like getting stung by bees.
I know, little tiny ones. Meep, meep, meep.
I prefer Joe's method of just talking nicely and reassuring them.
Yeah.
To my balls, Joe.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Your boss is
talk to the head. No, talk to the balls.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? Your boss what?
Yeah, you're a little high strung. I know you've been paying bills. Stuff like that. It's going to be okay. Okay, I know that you got worn out from sitting in a chair at a car dealership for 9 fucking hours, but it's gonna be okay. You'll be swinging like bells on an ice cream truck before you know it. So be good.
I feel like you finally found your calling.
Yeah.
I feel like you've tried so many things to be good at, but this is it.
Let me tell you, your face relaxed when he was talking.
It's very reassuring.
See?
It's
yes.
See?
Everything feels better when Joe talks balls.
That's right.
See, it's all that.
Joe, you should play for the other team. You're very good at it.
It's all that sperm motility you've got. So you've got like a real affinity for other guys'
That's
balls.
Right. Everything will be okay when you splash your sauce. It'll be okay.
Splashing sauce is a little aggressive.
Yeah, no, sorry.
Joe's girl said the chicken whisperer. I'm not really sure what chicken has
we
to
went
do with
to.
It.
We went to a farm stand yesterday, and I was we were having a little coffee and cake and stuff like that. And there was a couple of chickens. Walking around, it was this nice, great chicken and stuff like that. And I was talking, whose feathers are those? Whose feathers? Who's a good girl? And I was petting the chicken and stuff like that. Joe's girl called me the chicken whisperer.
So
and the other chickens were gathering around me. You know, how's everybody doing? Da, 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 you know, saying that. Na, 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 you know, so I was.
Javin's looking at him like he's lost his goddamn mind.
When have I haven't?
That's really funny. But now you can add to that the testicle whisperer.
Yes.
He got 55 injections. I think I felt maybe 2 little pinches. That was all. And while that was going on, Oates and I were talking about sailing, Sean said, before I knew it was over. Afterwards, Sean said he felt a little numb down there for a couple days, but not too bad. So it took Sean around 7 days to feel the effects of the treatment. A week later, when I inspected the area, I saw a change. I was less wrinkly and red, fuller and smoother. I don't know if it's all aesthetics, but it definitely looks better. Less like a medical car crash.
No.
A medical car crash?
You've seen those balls. You know what they did.
No. Oh, God. I got to look up the name of the guy. There. Go ahead.
Sean took his new and improved scrotum out on the town. Well, you can't leave him at home.
You see, like, there's buzz balls are at the bar. They're talking.
Me and my balls.
Me and my scrotum.
Lovely songs.
Hanging from the bottom of me. It swings back and forth, especially when I shake, when I pee. I don't... You want to laugh. Laugh, motherfucker. He's not laughing because he's the boss, but he knows I was funny.
Like how you have your inner dialogue.
I know. Well, he's also the Joe Whisperer.
That's right.
If he doesn't feel like a joke is landing, he has to talk himself down.
Oh, I do a lot
he's
of chatting.
He's talking to himself
I
like
do
a
lot of I do a lot of chatting on stage.
It's okay. I'll get him with the next one.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I thought that was funny and I was wrong. You're the audience. You know better. So he received some very positive feedback from a female acquaintance. Going forward, I'm hoping the word will spread far and wide throughout the land, and my phone will start buzzing from adventurous females who want to see, he said. But already within my social circle, everyone's like, oh, show us your balls, Sean. Show us your balls.
Wow, his social circle is quite strange.
But like all good fairy tales, when the clock strikes 12, his balls will turn into a pumpkin. No. They're not going to fit in his pants. Or in the case of Scrodox, wears off at around the 9-month mark. Our hero will inevitably turn back into a pumpkin and it will revert back to its wrinkly form. So what's Sean's verdict on Scrodox? No one should be turned off by the procedure itself. It was safe, painless, and really easy. So if anyone is curious, I'd tell them go for it. You've got nothing to lose. It's two thumbs up from me. So Associate Professor Peter Chin, the spokesman for the urological...
I wonder if he takes the balls on the chin.
I know. Since I heard chin, that's right where I went.
That was a foot race.
yes.
For the Urological Society of Australia and New Zealand, tells news.com.eu, while Botox injections are relatively safe, there are risks to consider when undergoing the treatment. Botox is a medication derived from a bacteria called Clostridium botulinum, which is actually a toxin used to paralyze nerves in a specific...
Botulism.
Botulism, yes.
If you're injecting into the muscle itself, you're paralyzing the localized area, which will relax the scrotum and is relatively safe. But the scrotum is a very large vascular organ. Excuse me. And there is potential risk for the Botox to travel through the body if injected incorrectly. Should this happen, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration reports, regardless of where Botox has been injected, patients may experience difficulty swallowing. Can't get the balls in my mouth the way I used to. How ironic.
Damn, you're flexible, though.
A change in voice, drooping of the eyelids, and even problems with breathing.
My balls feel saggy.
Move your tongue around me.
I can't. My balls are weighing me down. I used to whisper to him, but I can't anymore because my voice is dragging.
Chin said.
Well, pause for Joe's nonsense.
Balls on the chin said.
He's a doctor, damn it.
He's not just any
I'm a doctor, Jim.
Doctor, balls on the chin.
Spock, I need lower balls. It would appear that you have scrotox, sir.
Oh, here we go.
My balls are low.
Here
Spock,
we go.
My balls are low.
Glasses will be off soon. Well, do me a favor. Take off that sweater. Throw that down on the floor. Yeah. Didn't even make it to part three tonight. I mean, it's late. There we go. Glasses are off. Rubbing of the fucking eyes. Here we go.
Hips back. Yay.
It's going to fucking get jump started a little fucking hard because it's going to short circuit because it's going to get moist in there.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Seems that she's having a good time.
Should this happen, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration reports, regardless of where, yeah, it said that. Chin said there's a higher risk of injecting Botox into the scrotum than putting it into superficial muscles such as around the eye.
Could you just, we spoke to the doctor. Welcome to Balls on the Chin.
Podcast.
Oh, chin on the ball, yeah.
Balls on the chin.
So, Pip, what's your opinion on scrotal appearance?
You know,
that's why we couldn't do the segment without her, Joe.
Unless we're talking about somebody who's 94 years old.
You'll like those balls if they're presented.
You know what? It depends on who's presenting.
Mr. Healy is 94 years old. He's still in the mood.
Yeah, nice. I'll still go for that.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Team player. Loves her balls.
I'm down.
Pip loves her balls.
I'm down. Like about this high. Mm. I mean, I think
let me take out my teeth.
I think that they said that. You know, that mostly gay men were going for the scrotox, but that's because there is more of, you know, an aesthetic reason why, you know.
That's why, because scrotox is scrumptious. Mm. That's right, work for me.
I like how his balls have a much deeper voice. But it's like, you know, I can see that, you know, they want to present as well as possible. And, you know,
present? It's not a fucking award. It's a cock
present
and balls.
Present scrotum.
I present you my balls.
Yeah. Present. We're going to judge the balls now.
Listen, I want a bow around those puppies if they're coming
in. You know,
as
long as there's a fucking air freshener tied around it, you're fucking low. You're ahead of the game, all right?
Oh,
if we put a little pine tree tied around our balls, you're fucking ahead of the game, and we show we can. care. That's Forget right. about what they look like. If they fucking smell fresh, you're a lucky lady.
That's right.
Mr. Helix told you about the little tree? Okay, I'm surprised.
Well, he told me about the big bushy bush, too, but whatever. We've had some chats.
Some landscaping chat with Mr.
Seriously.
Helix.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if it doesn't smell like death, you're ahead of the game. Stop worrying about the looks.
As long as, you know, it's like a little bit of wrinkliness or whatever. I don't know what they're talking about yet, you know. But I'm just saying,
Mr. Helix is a fresh and nubile.
Yeah. He's perky.
They're like a baby's balls. The size, too.
Oh, God.
Joe, have you ever been concerned about your scrotal appearance?
No, everything is fine.
Well, maybe you should be now. Now that Joe's girl knows there's options out there. Yeah. Guess what you're getting for Christmas? It's a gift certificate.
Yeah, 50, not 55 injections into my sack. No way.
One for every year.
Oh, God. No. One for every year. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm actually 3 years younger then.
I understand, but it was going for a joke. You remember those.
Yeah.
if you see a package marked Scrotox and a big thing of Clorox with some Q-tips on the counter, I think I would run.
Yes.
Here's my feel. I feel like if somebody's already in that area, they fucking committed.
Yeah.
They're good to go.
I am worried about clean. You know, like, just be clean and not sweaty or gross.
Well, I just got them playing softball. First you got to unstick them from my thigh.
No, there's going to be a shower involved. Yeah.
Yourself a team player.
Yeah, no. That wish goes both ways.
Yeah,
there's
gotta
be some cleanliness involved.
You know what? It's fucking unwieldy down there. I mean,
for
the shit God wants us to deal with that stuff.
It's like, you know what? It's not too much to ask to clean it off first. It's really
not.
The
toothpaste
you wash
for
your
mouth.
Hands before you eat, don't you?
There should be a toothpaste for our cocks.
Yeah, it would be nice. Just be
or
nice
for the
and
vagina.
Fresh.
You know, you already got the little zzz going on. Put a fucking toothpaste. Put a little peppermint on there.
Yeah, and
oh,
and
that'd probably hurt.
It's not my problem.
Oh, that would really hurt. Yeah,
hey, but at least I get fresher breath when I'm going down on it. Everybody wins. She's coming, and I smell minty fresh.
Yeah, just everything clean, and please no talc because that stuff doesn't taste good. Just clean, and everybody's happy.
Right.
That's all. I don't need a bow on it.
You want your balls polished to a fine
shiny. What would you do if you were presented with a smooth scrotum? Would you enjoy that?
I don't think it would make any difference whatsoever. I
mean, really?
No. Hmm. No, really not.
I think we're just millimeters away from surgery of the taint. I think we're there, folks.
Well, you know what? I think that if everything else is tight and has been Botoxed within an inch of its life, it's kind of like once you paint the walls, you realize that the couch is looking shabby, and now you got to deal with the carpet.
Go balls deep.
You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of...
Go balls deep.
And next thing you know, it's a whole renovation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it really needs a makeover. You need Bob Vila for the cock.
Hello, this is Bob Vila for the cock.
Well, he does know his wood.
Yeah. Well played. All right, we're going to take a real short break, and then we'll come back with...